Welcome back to the Broke But Woke podcast. I am your favorite broke host, Maciel Nunez. I have missed doing this intro, this podcast, being in front of this microphone. I always miss you guys so much when it's been a while since we've last spoken. But this 2022, I am bringing back episodes, hopefully every Tuesday to you guys. Something I want to be more intentional about is being consistent with this podcast. And I'm just so excited to catch up with you all and bring back these weekly episodes. This new year, I plan to bring exciting interviews, deeper conversations, and more engagement with you all. Because when I started this podcast back in 2019, that was the goal behind it all, was a sense of community, a safe place to have those deep conversations. And I am just so excited for what this year is going to bring. And that is why for this first episode, I wanted to call it Mind, Body, and Space Reset for the New Year. That way we can start the new year together strong. I did some research. I'm really proud of my notes for this podcast episode, so I feel like it's going to be a good one. Wherever you're at, whether you're at the gym, on the way to work, in your bed, super cozy. If so, get a snack because we are going to have a bomb episode. Also, if I sound super nasally and congested, it's because your girl is super sick. 2 days before the new year, I actually got COVID, which is crazy because I was out of the country for a month, was super healthy and careful there, and now I'm back, but it's okay. Nothing we can't handle. I've been taking care of myself, being responsible, staying in my room, and although I feel icky and sound very icky, I wanted to commit to making this first episode for the new year. So bear with me, although my voice is not as crystal clear as it usually is. Again, I am very excited for this episode. So thank you for tuning in. Thank you for choosing my podcast to start your year with. And let's dive right in. So I wanted to do a quick catch up before we get into the gist of this episode, just so that we have an idea of where I'm at in my life as we proceed with weekly consistent content. And I took a look at my podcast page and I was so embarrassed because it looks like the last time we spoken was July, which is just not okay. Guys, this is a new year. I'm going to be consistent. You guys can hold me accountable to that. And it's a new year for me to redeem myself and give you guys that community, that safe space on a weekly basis. But the last time we spoke, I did my Teen Mom episode with my best friend Jenny. Such a good episode if you get the chance to listen to it. She is proof that there is nothing in this life that can get in your way or in the way of the goals you want to achieve. But since then, some updates, your girl is officially a college graduate. And it feels so good to finally be able to say I graduated college. Something I used to struggle with is being so hard on myself with how long it was taking me to finish my degree, because I was watching the friends that I graduated high school with finish their bachelor's and move on with their lives and move out, fall in love, you like do things the traditional way, right? Meanwhile, my life is like all over the place, you guys, which I think is why a lot of you relate to me, is because I try not to hold back on being honest about that. I mean, I moved out with a boyfriend, moved back to my parents' house. My podcast is called Broke But Woke for a reason, because your girl is broke. So I've tried to be as honest as possible about, you know, my journey in this thing called life. And when it comes to college, it was taking me forever to finish my degree, okay? A bachelor's degree traditionally is 4 years. In my case, I graduated at the 6-year mark. And again, that used to be something that used to bother me, but now I'm just thankful for the fact that I finished. It's not about, as cheesy as it sounds, it's not about how long it takes you to reach the finish line. It's about the fact that you reached the damn finish line. So celebrate that. And let me just say, it's been almost 6 months since I've graduated, and I am still celebrating the fact that I graduated because I'm very proud of myself. And another update, I think the last time we spoke, I mentioned how I quit my 9-to-5 job. That was, I quit towards June time because I had gotten sick and I couldn't physically go into my 9-to-5. And although I wasn't working my 9-to-5 job, let me tell you, that summer, I worked the most I think I ever have in my entire life. I worked so hard on my magazine, like revamping our website, building clientele, building a foundation for how I want my magazine to work. But although that was all sweet and cute and yay, like I wasn't working a 9-to-5, y'all, your girl was broke. Like, this is not called the Broke But Woke podcast for no reason, okay? So I needed to figure something out. And what it came to, my solution was finding a remote position, something that was flexible, something that could hold me financially stable as I continue to grow my dreams. And that's just what I did. I researched some positions, and I think in September, around that time, I got the job that I'm working now. It's for a school in Montana that works with kids. I'm their communications manager. I handle their social media as well. And I feel really blessed because I have a job that is flexible with me, supports me, but I get to create my own schedule so that I can still work on my magazine. For example, this podcast, writing my second book, and doing all the other creative things that I love to do and hope to do solely one day for an income, you know? So that's another update, is your girl had to get a job because we were broke. Finally, I traveled a lot in the last few months. I went to Chicago for a whole month. I went to California, and that was beautiful. But the most rewarding trip was Dominican Republic. That is where my family is from, and it's a part of me that I always felt so distant from because I never really got to experience Dominican Republic the way I got to this past month. I spent the first half of December with my dad in Dominican Republic, and then my mother flew in for the second half, and I got to spend the holidays with her and her side of the family. And my dad took me exploring. Like, we literally went by the coast, like city to city, and it was such a beautiful trip in the sense that I felt so connected to my parents. Let's start there. Keep in mind, my father and I, we like never spent more than a weekend together, especially on vacation, okay? And yeah, I got to know so much about my dad. I saw little quirks about him that I was like, oh my god, I do that too. That makes so much sense why I'm like this, because you're like this, you know? And it was just so sweet to have those moments with him. And I knew a trip like this was so special to him because he wants to move over there one day. And now I understand why. It's such a beautiful country. And, you know, getting to experience it with my mom, who it was her first time visiting in a really long time too, was an emotional trip for her. And meeting people that when she was younger were important to her, it was an overall very rewarding trip. My biggest lesson from Dominican Republic is just, you don't need a lot to be happy in this life. I met a lot of people with very little over there who are so full of life and so happy. And again, I just feel like that emotional trip was so rewarding and a great way for me to end the year and move forward with that perspective into this new year. But anyways, those are my updates. Sorry for my little TED talk. I just wanted to update you guys so you know where I'm at mentally, where I'm at career-wise, what I'm doing. And I'm sure with the other episodes that come along the way, I'll be updating you guys a lot more. But now, let's get into today's episode for real this time. This is the New Year Reset, mind, body, and space. That is how I'm going to break up this episode to lay out a strong foundation going into 2022. So I mentioned earlier that I did some research, and I'm going to start off with this fun fact. A study done by the University of Scranton says only 8% of people actually achieve their New Year's resolution. I found that really interesting because, for example, I'm going to use the gym as an example. We all know that the busiest time of the year for the gym is January, the beginning of January, because everybody makes those resolutions. I'm going to work out. I'm going to get fit. I'm going to get this body right. And then most people stop going to the gym by February. And I feel like there's so much pressure to start the year off by scratching off those resolutions one by one. And I don't blame people because it does feel good to start off with a new chapter, like right from the beginning of the year or the beginning of a new month. I mean, hell, like I even said with this podcast, I want to be more consistent starting at the beginning of this year. But sometimes when we don't accomplish those resolutions, I feel like that's why we end the year feeling discouraged or saying stuff like, oh, well, there's always next year. And I also feel like we always throw out, oh, this is my New Year resolution, without understanding the definition of resolution. So let's break that down. Resolution, a firm decision to do something, finding a solution to a problem. Now, I know you're thinking, that doesn't sound bad, Maciel, so why are we so opposed to it? I think that sounds great too, but it's the firm decision. It's the, I need this to happen. And what happens subconsciously, I feel, is we set these goals and we feel so discouraged when it doesn't work out the way we originally had hoped for. So I encourage you to switch resolution for intention. What are your intentions for the year? Now, the definition of intention is a thing intended, an aim, or a plan. See, a plan could have any type of outcome because it's simply that, a plan. It's the steps towards the goal. And I feel like switching out resolutions, for example, values that you want to live for the rest of your life, it takes away the pressure of if something doesn't go as originally planned. So I'm going to use myself as an example for this. Prior to 2022, I had a game plan. I was like, okay, New Year's resolution, gonna get my magazine together, going to work out a lot, going to film a bunch of YouTube content. And then you know what happened? Life threw me a curveball and your girl got COVID. Literally days before the new year, I was bedridden. I physically could not get out of bed. And I was like, well, what are we gonna do now? And so that's where I learned to switch my resolutions to intentions, because that eliminates even the idea of me being disappointed if things don't work out the way that I had originally planned for. So I guess when I looked at my resolutions, I realized what was the foundation of that, of those resolutions I created. The foundation was to be productive. So how can I switch my resolution to an intention that still holds that same foundation, okay? So this is what I did. My resolution switched from, I have to be productive as soon as the year starts, to, I will listen to my body's needs and be proud of the work I accomplish. And guys, that simple mindset was so transformative because I didn't feel pressure to get work done every day. January 1st, I got work done from my bed. It wasn't the original plan that I had, but I got work done and I felt so proud of myself for it. I listened to my body. I didn't overwork myself. I got something done every day that wasn't, you know, originally the plan, but I listened to my body's needs and I was proud of the work that I accomplished. And fundamentally, the foundation, I was still productive. You see, are you guys like catching what I'm throwing here? I found this definition online about being intentional and it said, being intentional is about having a clear purpose and wanting to take action on the thoughts and feelings that are most important to you. I wanted to look at my values for the year and what is a game plan that I can make for it, where I'm not hard on myself if things don't work out as I originally planned, but I can be proud of myself for working towards that goal and also creating daily habits that are going to turn into long-term habits. And the reason being is because these values are so incredibly important to me and something I want to continue on, not just for 2022, but for the rest of my life. And something that kept like going through my head as I was taking these notes for this episode is to be kind to yourself. I know that sounds cheesy, but I promise you it's something we don't do enough of. We teach kids at a young age, be kind to others. But why aren't we teaching people to be kind to themselves? Because we are a reflection of how we treat ourselves. Are you kind to yourself? Like, I feel like the biggest way that we aren't kind to ourselves is by putting too much pressure on ourselves to get stuff done. And also, when things don't turn out the way we planned, being so hard on ourselves. And going into 2022 especially, let's not forget what we just went through in 2021 and 2020. Give yourself some grace. We went through an entire pandemic. Some of you may have lost a job. Some of you may have lost a loved one. You might feel stuck. You might feel anxious with everything going on in the world. And I feel like it's a moment for us to just pause as we go into this new year and just be kind to yourself. Create intentions that hold value for things you want to accomplish for the rest of your life, but be kind to yourself. So as we get deeper into this episode, I just wanted to start off with that. Let's switch resolution to intentions. Let's be kind to ourselves. Focus on the values that matter to you. Be intentional and also give yourself credit. Be proud of everything you've already accomplished going into this new year. And I know you're going to be so excited for all the other things that this year will have to offer you. And so with this new mindset, I've restructured my reset routine for the year with these principles in mind. And I kind of created this little reset triangle. It's nothing new. I've seen people do something similar. But the way I see it is like visualize a triangle. And at every point, there's one of these concepts. It's mind, body, and space. And I feel like once you've accomplished all those 3 points, you can shade in your triangle and boom, you've got your healthy foundation for the rest of the year. As I go through this reset triangle, I personally like to begin with my space. Reason being is I feel like it's hard to focus on the mind and the body and give it the attention that it deserves if your space is cluttered. I've said it before in previous episodes, but I truly believe that a cluttered space equals a cluttered mind. So you guessed it. My first word of advice, declutter your space. So here's a little research for you. A Journal of Occupational Environmental Medicine study found that having a cluttered office may be bad for your brain. Researchers studied almost 5,000 adults to gain insight into how their work environment affected their attention, cognition, and memory. And what they found is that those who work in dirty or cluttered spaces had a steeper cognitive decline than those who had a tidier space. And then the final study was by the company Brother. 40% of the participants said a messy workplace actually causes them to be less productive. Personally, I know I cannot focus if the space around me is cluttered. I have to organize, and I know everybody's different, but here are some little tips on ways that you can clean the environment around you so that we can move forward with the mind and the body. When I clean the space around me, I like to start with my room. I personally spend the most time in my room, so of course I decided to start there, and more specifically the closet. Not that I'm in my closet all the time, but there's something about having an organized closet and letting go of stuff that I no longer use that feels so good, especially starting in the new year. And this method is actually something I've discussed before, but it's the KonMari method. This is the definition from its website. A simple but effective tidying method, ensuring you will never again relapse to clutter. And the method was created by Marie Kondo. And the idea is that you can accomplish this in 5 steps. I kind of give you guys the Cliff Notes version of it because that's not what this entire episode's about. But first things first is you break down your items of clothing or whatever it is that you're organizing into categories. Then you turn those categories into subcategories. So you're already organizing there. And then you literally go item by item and ask these questions. You ask yourself, does this spark joy? And have I used this in the last few months? And if the answer is no, then you have to challenge yourself to get rid of it. And what you'll find is you have an attachment to these things that you didn't even realize was naturally there. And that's probably why you have clothes from 2-3 years ago that you haven't even worn since then, since you first bought it. So it's a time to be honest with yourself. It's gonna be tricky sometimes, but letting go feels so good. And it makes the rest of the decluttering process so much easier. It's great because if you learn to do this monthly, it becomes a really good habit. You let go of things that no longer, quote unquote, spark joy. They're no longer benefiting you. It's just taking up space, and somebody else will benefit from this clothing item or whatever else it is that you're decluttering more than you are. And another thing is if you're looking for some extra cash at the beginning of the year, this is a great opportunity to do so. You can sell your unwanted clothes online through social media, Poshmark, Mercari, Depop, or even go to a local's Plato's Closet and whatever clothes they don't choose, you can just donate it. It's a win-win for everybody. So once you've decluttered your closet, the next step is to deep clean your room. You should be doing this anyway, not gonna lie, but starting off the year with a super deep clean room is a good feeling. So wash your sheets, vacuum, sweep, wipe down every surface, clean out your desk, organize, declutter, and throw out whatever no longer holds value to you. I encourage you to do this wherever you spend the most time. So like in my case, I work from home. I make sure my room is clean at the beginning of the year because again, it's laying the foundation for the rest of the year. But even if you go into an office every day, make sure that your workspace is clean and tidy. And now that you're taking care of your physical environment, the things around you, the next part of your space is your technological space, technology, your phone, your laptop. So let's start with your phone. I love decluttering my technology because so much stuff gets built up on there throughout the year that you don't even like realize until you go in and take a look at your memory space. And what I encourage you or want to inspire you to do is downsize your usage. So let's say you're at like 54 gigabytes of memory used. Set a little goal for yourself. It doesn't have to be anything crazy. It could be like taking it from 54 gigabytes to, let's say, 45, challenge yourself to get rid of that much space so that you start off the year with less stuff on your phone, less clutter. Remove photos, remove text threads, those contacts that you no longer need, apps that you don't use, and same thing goes for your laptop or your iPad. I'm actually planning on recording an updated technology declutter video once I start feeling better, and I'll have that on my YouTube channel. I have one from, I think, 2019 if you want to go check it out, but I actually have like a whole routine on how I do this, on how I declutter my phone, because again, it just feels so good to have less photos, less clutter on your phone, and just kind of start fresh going into the new year. And once my environment is taken care of, once I clean my physical space, declutter, take care of my technological space, I move forward with the body. And I find when I look up reset routines on YouTube, I feel like they're so toxic when it comes to the body. Most of them are like, day one, January 1st, do 20 ab workouts. And like, that's just not, no. While working out is, yes, beneficial, it's great, we're not going to apply that type of pressure on ourselves, okay? We're going to listen to what your body needs, okay? Our body talks to us. People start the year by saying, oh, I'm only going to eat salads or drink more water. But what's the intention? There's that word again. What's the intention behind it? I think something that's going to help with this is understanding why we're setting these goals to begin with. Rather than saying something like, I'm only going to eat salads, what's the intention behind it? It's nourishing our body. And a way to do that is with a balanced meal, not necessarily restricting ourselves to extremely intense diets, but I want to nourish my body with a balanced meal. Why do we want to drink more water? To hydrate our bodies, because our bodies need hydration. Does your body need more rest? How can we adjust our schedules to aid in a healthier sleeping cycle? These are the types of questions we should be asking ourselves when we're creating these goals and intentions that relate to our body going into this new year. A great way to be intentional with your body is by also changing your perspective about it. I feel like society has taught us to want to change our bodies or work out simply for the aesthetic of it all or for social acceptance, rather than focusing on the relationship that we have with our body, being kind to our body, nourishing it in the way that it needs to. For example, if we're going to set up a workout routine or a plan to better benefit our bodies, do it because it makes you feel energized or it makes you feel stronger, rather than focusing too much on the aesthetic result of working out. Another way of focusing on your body is by doing at least one thing for you every day. I feel like I've noticed in a lot of these reset routines that are popular on TikTok or on YouTube, they don't prioritize self-care in the sense of doing something that brings you joy. It's okay to be selfish, especially if it means benefiting your mental health, because I don't know if you've caught on, but there's a direct correlation between the space, body, and mind. What one does affects the other. So by you being selfish and choosing your body is going to have a very positive effect on your mind. So be selfish, do something that makes you and your body feel good. Examples, take yourself on a date, do yoga because it makes your body feel nice and stretched and relaxed. Meditate, eat ice cream, watch a movie, soak in a bath. I like to get my nails done. And something that I've been doing recently, even while I've been sick, is playing some like funky music and dancing by myself. And I know everybody says, well, I'm too busy to prioritize myself. I'm asking you for 5 minutes of your day. And if you start prioritizing yourself, your life is going to make a complete shift, even in the first few days of the year, if this is something that you don't already do, is prioritizing yourself. Start listening to what you and your body needs, and you will be amazed at the way your life is going to change and the great foundation that you'll set for yourself going into this new year. So once the space around you is organized, clean, and tidy, once you start listening to what your body needs and setting a plan on how are we going to take care of our body, what does it truly need, how can I mend the relationship I have with my body, now we can move to the most important and final step of this reset triangle, and that is your mind. And when it comes to the mind, I like to reflect on the past year and then start getting more specific about the goals that I want to accomplish. What are the habits that I want to create? What are some goals career-wise and financially that I'd like to develop? And also just visualizing the life that I want as a whole. This way, I can be intentional and form a plan on how I'll reach those goals. So a psychology professor by the name of Dr. Gales Matthews at the Dominican University in California led a study on goal setting with nearly 270 participants, and the results showed that you are 42% more likely to achieve your goals if you write them down. Now, anybody that knows me knows I am a huge believer in speaking the goals and the things you want into existence, and that goes hand in hand with writing them down. And one of my personal intentions for this year was to prioritize journaling. I want to journal every day, even if it's just 5 minutes of my day. I want to get my thoughts onto paper. I feel like it's a healthy habit to develop. And whether or not that's one of your intentions, I truly do encourage you to grab a piece of paper at the beginning of the year and write your goals down. But before you do that, let's reflect on the past year. I feel like a lot of people jump into the new year without giving themselves credit for how they've grown in the past year, for the things that they've learned, and for what they've already accomplished up until this point. So before you write down your goals, take 2 to 3 minutes. You can either write this down or even just answer these questions in your head. But let's start with this. What from last year were you proud of? And what were some things that you accomplished last year? This is your moment to give yourself credit, be proud of the things that you've already done thus far. And I know some people don't like to reflect because it can be hard. I mean, it challenges you to be honest with yourself and look at every aspect of your life. Like, these are some other questions to ponder on. Where are some areas you could have improved in? And instead of being hard on yourself about it, what can we do different this time around to maybe get a different outcome? Like I mentioned earlier, I find that a lot of people focus too much on the end and disappoint themselves that they're not at the end goal already. Rather than just focusing on creating a plan and looking at all the little steps it takes to get there. Like I said earlier, the definition of resolution is literally to have a solution for an issue. But this year, we are choosing to be more intentional. So with our intentions, we can aim and create an intentional plan to reach those end goals. After reflecting on the past year, it's time to write our goals down. And this is simple. You can simply write it down in a list style. I like to be as specific as possible because it helps me create that intentional plan on how I'm going to reach this goal. Another great way of being clear about the things that you want and visualizing the life you want going into 2022 is by creating a vision board. I know not everybody is a fan of vision boards or believes in, like, I guess the psychology behind it, but I love them. I really feel like it pushes me, it inspires me to actually get stuff done. And so for those of you who don't know, vision boards is literally creating, on some format, a collage of a visual representation of the things you want. So for example, if you want a puppy this year, you would put a picture of a puppy. If you want to travel more, you maybe would put a picture of palm trees or a plane. You know, it's a visual representation of the things you want to achieve. So on mine, I always include stuff like career goals, personal goals that include fitness and travel and even inspirational quotes that keep me going. And I'll keep it in a place like the one from 2021 I kept right at my desk so that while I'm working, I always had my vision board there. And there's multiple ways you can create this. You can do this by collecting magazines and cutting out inspirational photos. I personally go on Pinterest, save pictures that I like, and then build my collage on Canva. And then I'll literally get it professionally printed at Walgreens. But I'm bougie. You don't have to do all that. You can literally create it from a magazine and put it on cardboard or on poster board. And even take a picture of that and putting it on your phone as a wallpaper. Somewhere that you are seeing it every day and it's a daily reminder of the goals that you want to achieve. I actually have an entire previous episode on the Broke But Woke podcast about the law of attraction, and I share my success stories of previous vision boards that I've had. I know that type of idea isn't for everybody, but if you want to check it out and learn more, definitely check out that episode. I know a lot of my listeners have told me that that's one of their favorite episodes. You could just tell I'm very passionate about it. I just really believe there's power in saying and speaking the things you want in this life. But to furthermore add to that idea of a vision board, I looked up a article from Forbes, and it said that 1 in 5 small business owners used a vision board or other visual representation when starting their business, and 76% of those business owners said that today their business is where they envisioned it would be when they started it. Now, of course, I'm not going to give all the credit to a piece of cardboard with pictures on it, but I don't know, definitely if you want to learn more about it, again, listen to my older episode and do some more research on it. I personally always start my year off by creating a new vision board, so I just want to encourage you to do that as well. And as we are setting our goals, writing these goals down, once you have your vision board done, you know, this is where you get to be as specific as possible. And so beginning of the year, I always look at my monthly goals career-wise. I start planning out my habits and getting more intentional with my finances. So for my monthly goals, I like to use this app called Notion to organize my life. I really want to do a YouTube video kind of going into depth about how I organize my life on Notion, because it has changed the way I do everything. It has given me structure, it has given me routine. So at the beginning of the year, I like to go on Notion and break down my career goals every month. A part of this is not being discouraged if something isn't like done by, let's say, April. Like, let's say I say I want this many subscribers by April. If it doesn't work out, I'll simply move that goal down to October. It's such an easy fix. No need to be hard on myself about it. But yeah, so I'll write down my monthly career goals, monthly personal goals, and then start planning my habits. And so, for example, this year, something I want to be intentional about is journaling. Working out a little bit more, and reading at least one book a month. It's such simple little things like that, but I like to write them down just so that I can reflect back on them throughout the year and make sure I'm holding myself accountable. Hey, are you getting these things done? And finally, like I mentioned, my finances. This year, I really want to take my finances more seriously. I know I'm 24. I should have been doing this a long time ago, but we're broke. But we're woke. And so something I want to start doing this year is saving my receipts. I want to have more intentional spending, budgeting. Like, I want to save my receipts so that I'm keeping up with, like, how much am I spending each month? What can I cut down on? What am I spending too much on? And right before the year started, yo, I'm very proud of myself, okay? I remember I had a conversation with my best friend, Jenny, and, you know, she's like very organized and way more mature in that end financially than I am. Like, the girl has her own house. But she, you know, she got on me as to why I have so many subscriptions. Like, I had HBO, I had Paramount, I had Hulu, Netflix, Disney Plus, all this stuff. And so I dedicated a day, guys. It took me an entire day, but I encourage you guys to do this. Also, this year, I plan on having more financial episodes, because it's funny that this podcast is called Broke But Woke, but I haven't had one financial expert on here. And obviously, I feel like everybody would enjoy that. But it took me an entire day to break down my finances, look at how much debt I have, because keep in mind, I'm post-grad and broke, and I owe a lot of money to credit cards and loans, and I'm not perfect. I will be the first to say I'm the furthest thing from perfect. But I broke down all of my debt, and yeah, I started eliminating monthly subscriptions, and I'm really proud of myself for that. I started canceling subscriptions that I no longer use, and I've already seen myself save some money there. And now I'm just planning out, you know, how can I pay off certain debt? And it looks like by the middle of this year, your girl may be debt-free. So we're going to be, I'll be keeping you guys updated on that end. But I definitely think this time, when you're focusing on your mind, focusing on your goals, is a great moment to also break down your financial goals. And, you know, be intentional about that. Be intentional about your spending. Be intentional about where do you want to save money? For what do you want to save money? And once you have written down your goals, created your vision board, now we move on to social media. I was originally going to include social media earlier when we were talking about technological space, but I feel like there's such a stronger correlation between the social media use and your mental health that I decided to include it in this section. And I love to do a kind of social media reset prior to the year starting. And I do this by unfollowing people and accounts that no longer bring me joy. I even clean up my feed a little bit, like I'll take pictures that no longer I feel represent who I am. If I don't talk to a person anymore, or I genuinely do not care what's going on in their life, because it is not benefiting me, and I know that sounds selfish, but it's okay to let go of people and things that no longer serve you. I will hit that unfollow button so quickly. And I also think this is a time to really challenge yourself to use social media less. You know, give yourself like an hour maybe of the day. Even that is a lot. But try to cut down the amount of time that you're spending on social media. And in that time that you would typically use scrolling on the internet or, you know, Pinterest, Instagram, Twitter, whatever it may be, TikTok. Oh my God, y'all, I could spend hours on TikTok. But challenge yourself that instead of that time that you're spending on social media, use it to work towards your goals. You can read, you can write, you can do something that is a part of that plan to achieve that those other goals. So I definitely recommend reevaluating your relationship with social media going into the new year. And the final step of this reset triangle, I feel like it's a combination of the mind, the body, and the space around us, is practicing affirmations and gratitude as we go into this new year. Even at some point in your week, even if you only do this once a week, I think this is going to change your life completely. Practicing gratitude. Be thankful for the lessons you learned in the past year. That was, you know, part of that reflection moment of what happened in 2021. But even be grateful for the things that didn't work out the way you originally planned. This is us practicing being kind to ourselves. Thank you, because even though things didn't work out the way that I planned it was originally going to work out, I'm proud of myself. I'm still here, and it's given me the mindset of wanting to work towards even bigger goals someday. Be grateful for the people who are around you and entering this new year with you. I would even go as far as messaging them directly and expressing my gratitude, giving people their flowers while they are alive. Message that family member, that best friend who helped you through 2021 and you know is going to be a solid part of 2022, and just say thank you. I'm so excited I get to start this year with you by my side. There's power in expressing gratitude. It feels good to express gratitude and receive it back. It's just good vibes going into the new year, and it does not hurt to express that gratitude and put that out into the world. And then once you practice gratitude, I encourage affirmations. This is a great way of being kind to yourself. I personally like to say these things out loud to myself when I'm in front of the mirror. I'll say things like, I'm worthy, I'm kind, I'm excited for what this day has in store for me. And, you know, there's different variations. If you have no idea of what to say to yourself, look it up on Pinterest. You can look it up on Google. There's so many resources of great affirmations that will help you just feel empowered going into your day. And maybe you feel weird saying these things out loud in front of a mirror. There's a solution for that. You can literally just write these things down on like a sticky note and place it on your mirror so that when you're getting ready for the day, you are reading this in your head to yourself, or even writing it down in your notes app and like just reflecting on that at some point in your day. The moral or the concept behind affirmations is to be kind to yourself and really believe that you are in control of the day and the future ahead of you. So I hope you guys have enjoyed my first episode back to the Broke But Woke podcast, the first episode of 2022. I will have new episodes every Tuesday on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and really anywhere that you're listening to this right now. I'd love to hear feedback. Please message me on my Instagram. If you guys don't follow me, the podcast page is Broke But Woke Podcast on Instagram. I'm trying to build a community on there again, post more reels and more engaging content. But feel free to message me on there. Let me know what you think of this first episode back. I'd love to also get in conversations with you all about your goals and how I can help you, you know, feel accountable about your goals. Share your feedback. Leave me a review if you have Apple Podcasts. I'd love if you guys could start putting in more reviews for me. And yeah, I look forward to this year. I'll have more guests, more interviews, and more engaging conversations. I love you all. Be safe and have a happy new year.